done. That singing was magnificent. And I tell you, excellent. That's singing in unity and in unison. It's what a church family should be. You know, this is an exercise in unity when we sing together, that we're all singing, lifting our voices together. It's how a church family ought to be. It's how your family ought to be. It's not always that way. For many families struggle, and we need to always remember that, be an encouragement to one another. Each of our families are going to have difficulties, but it's good when we can see a church family together, and this is one way we do that, in worshiping together and singing together. We're going to continue in Ephesians today. Next Sunday, Lord willing, I'll have a message concerning our Lord's birth, and that'll be good. But I think it's so important that we continue. We've been looking at family, God's instructions for husbands and wives, and today it's concerning children and parents, and I think it's a perfect time of year to talk about this, because we oftentimes really turn our hearts toward home during this time of year. Christmas has a way of doing that, and that this is something I think is important for us as a church. It's something that the world can't even know and understand what we talk about here today. I'll say this up front before we pray, and that is the only way that as we go through the teaching of Scripture regarding husbands and wives, that you can even carry out what would please God would be for you to know Jesus Christ personally. And if you don't know Him, that you would come to know Him by call upon Him and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you would be saved, as well as have His heart and His mind made a new creature in Christ, that you then would have the power to live according to God's way. If you are a Christian and your spouse is not, God has blessed you and God has blessed your family. And so you can be that holy influence in your home and godly intervention in your home through your prayers and through your love and through your conduct. But today we talk to parents and children, and we'll do that from Ephesians chapter 6. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your holy word. We thank You for the declaration that You made that You are one God. And You sent Your Son, the radiance of Your glory, the exact representation of Your being, to earth to become man. And we glory in Christ, and we behold the radiance of Your glory clearly portrayed and radiated in the face of Your dear Son. We confess and declare dependence upon You today. As we look at Ephesians chapter 6, we see how needy we are. We thank You for giving us this direction and this command of what we'll study today. And we pray that You would give us a renewed vision of what family should be, of what parents ought to be, of what children ought to be, why we have families, why it's important. Please teach us today. Give us Your heart. Share Your heart and Your mind with us. I pray that just thinking about ones that may be here today, that they'll look back on the time they had their children, comfort them if there's grief, give grace to each person here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 6, we're just going to look at verses 1 through 3, and I think it's just a powerful, powerful text. Of course, listen to this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. It's a short, simple text, but it's not a standalone text. The Old Testament, the New Testament, is filled with verses that expound on what Paul writes here. This is a short summary, I think, of what the Bible teaches concerning children and parents. Very, very important. It's very important. We can simply look around and see the necessity of this in our society today, but there's something even bigger and more important than just having children that are well-behaved and parents that do a good job. The Bible gives us the reasons why there has to be family. Why did God intend for family to be so important? And what is the purpose of family? What are children to? Why should children obey? What's the purpose behind parents being diligent to teach and train their children? I think the Bible sets it out for us so clearly in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I think for a good backdrop of the message today, you can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and see what God has in mind and what God has in store. Why the family exists. Why your family exists. Why are you together as a family? What is God's will for you as parents? What is God's will for you as a child within the home in which you live? And I hope that this would be an encouragement to you today, and we're going to see this and take it a step at a time this morning. But Deuteronomy chapter 6, and most of you are familiar with this, in verses 4 through 8 or 4 through 9, and it's such a simple and concise scripture for us to get an idea, a very clear idea of why God has family, why He designed a family in the first place. We've studied it already a little bit in Genesis, but we see it so clearly here. This is what God declares in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 is God's self-revelation. He tells us so clear at the head of what follows, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And that is God's self-disclosure. He has disclosed about Himself, revealed about Himself who He is. Then listen what follows. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts." Those two verses right there give us something of our responsibility as human beings. Now God's writing, this revelation is for His people, His chosen ones, that they would know this about Him and what is their responsibility. God declares who He is. He gives a very clear and concise commandment or instruction of what is the responsibility of His people. And we can say that still stands for His people today, the Church of Jesus Christ. We are responsible to love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength and our minds. And He finishes, "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts." In other words, for everyone, parent and child. You just can't say for old people, young people are excluded, but for all who are part of the family of God, the children of God, this is the command. This is what you are to be doing. This is what you're to occupy yourself with. And write these commandments on your heart. In other words, have in your hearts, upon your hearts, God's self-revelation, His revelation of Himself through His Word. Know Him through the Word. God was not finished yet. He could have stopped there, but the beauty of it is He goes on and he gives His plan to His people, to Israel, to take the message then into all the world. He does this throughout the Old Testament. The gospel message, which is predicted in the Old Testament, was given to the Israelites, and they were to be a kingdom of priests before all the world, that through them, through Abraham, the promises made to Abraham, and through his seed, through his offspring, all the nations would be blessed. And God sets a foundation in the scripture of this. We see it in Genesis chapter 12, but we see something further of how the plan is to be initiated. How will the nations be blessed? Well, here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, we can see it. How will it be implemented? Impress them on your children. God's plan for His people, for His name becoming a blessing to the nations, and ultimately Jesus Christ, this gospel which is preached around the world, to be a blessing to the nations, comes through families. God's people are commanded, and it's impressed upon parents to impress them the commandments of God, the instruction of God's self-revelation. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. There's something about this which is really powerful, because first it's to be talked about, it's to be instructed, the truth to be told to your children, within your family. It all begins right here. The blessing of the nation will come for, nations will come through families. And it'll take generation after generation after generation. It's the story to be told, from passed on from father and mother to son and daughter to their children, and their children to their children. And this is God's plan, for from one generation to the next, that the generations would be blessed. To talk in home regarding this good news of God. That God is God. That He is the one true God. What greater gift could you possibly give your children than to speak to them? Open your lips and explain to them. Read to them. Explain to them the truth of God's Word. Read the Bible to them. And establish that habit of conversation, that it wouldn't be an odd thing for them to hear the good news. And at times when you're not speaking, the writer of Deuteronomy, Moses, writes, as the Spirit led him, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. And they would literally put the commandments on their bodies. We don't put the commandments on our bodies, but there should be evidence and testimony, even when you're not speaking, of you being a recipient and a holder of the truth and holding fast to it. There should be evidence in your life, in your conduct, in the things that you do beyond words. And so this would be also evidence for your family, for your children, that they could see what real Christianity is all about. Verse 9 tells us then, even when you're dead and when you're left, when they're left behind, but there would still be evidence. Verse 9 says, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Even when they would be gone, as God instructs the Israelites, there would be a testimony to those that are left behind, because the truth had been etched in the doorpost. It would be there for the next generations to see. Have you ever had a loved one, a relative, die? And you receive a box of their belongings, or you go to their house and you look through their belongings, and you soon learn things about them you didn't even know before. And you think, I wish I'd have known this about them. Well, it's a testimony left behind of something of their life. Well, this tells us not only with words, not only with your life that you live while you're living, but even when you're gone, leave a testimony of the story. And of the truth of God's revelation of Himself, the truth of Jesus Christ for us today. This is so important. God's plan for families, then, for marriage and for having children, ultimately is that we would give witness and testimony that there is a God in heaven, and He has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who is Savior and Lord, and has passed on from one generation to the next, to the next, through the family. And this is important for us today, because in our day and age, families are almost downplayed anymore. Jokes are made about them on TV, and it's usually goofy things families do. It's kind of funny, but the reality is that's not the purpose. The plan of God is that we would be, in a sense, a repository of the truth, and then those who would pass on the truth from one generation to the next. And so I think when Paul just writes about husbands and wives, it's within the greater context of Scripture, that it's more than just a husband and wife being happy together, but a husband and wife who are walking in peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ and bearing witness to the goodness of God. And so he begins talking about children and parents. So it's not surprising that he would do this, because the outcome of marriage so often is there will be children. So this relationship between parent and children can be focused and centered so clear as we look at the scripture, and we can remember, why are we doing this? Why are we disciplining our children? Why are we teaching them? Why are we training them? Why do we spend so much time? And if you just think it's just somehow to get them ready to launch a great career and to have more stuff than you had, you're going to be falling short. Relationships fall short of the glory of God. And if we detach ourselves from what Scripture teaches us, we're going to continue to see them fall short of God's glory. God is glorified when we delight ourselves in His Word and what He has to say on any given matter, and God speaks concerning families. And so when you wonder, why am I doing this? This is too hard. If you can remember and be inspired by the fact that it's part of God's plan that from one generation to the next, the truth will be passed on. You could say, well, but they have their Bibles. They can read it if they want to. I remember having a friend. I loved him dearly. But he said, I will never force a religious belief on my children. I will let them find it and discover it themselves. Guess what their children discovered? Nothing. They had discovered nothing. They discovered the world, but they found nothing. And it's tragic to think about that. But what a powerful responsibility, but a glorious joy you have if you are a parent, to think about your task ultimately is to give testimony to your children through words, through actions, and through a legacy that will provide a testimony of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I think Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 is stated so simply that we have a lot of questions when we read it. Well, I would encourage you to do this. Take time in your Bible study and search out the other passages of Scripture that speak about parents and children. And make discovery for yourself in the Old Testament. I've given you this text in Deuteronomy 6. You can find more in Deuteronomy 5. You can find more throughout, sprinkled throughout. You can see good examples and bad examples. You can see the result of parents who took seriously their work to pass on. But so often you'll see negative examples of parents who did not pass on to their children the testimony that there is a God in heaven and He has revealed Himself in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. You can see the heartbreak of those families to inspire you to say, this is what I have to keep focused. It's so tempted as parents to just discipline to keep peace in the household. It's tempting in any setting we're in church. When we gather here, we're in a small room, to just say, let's just make them behave so we can all have peace. Well, there's a greater reason for it than just us all having a pleasant time when we gather together in our own home or when we gather together to worship. The greater purpose is that there would be a testimony given that even little ears would hear and have opportunity to hear the declaration of the testimony there is a God in heaven. Parents, you have a responsibility to help your children along, even here on a Sunday morning, to teach them how to listen, to teach them how to pay attention. It takes time. Because remember, this message and testimony is passed on from family to family, children, parent to children, children to grandchildren, one generation to the next, and it takes time, but it takes diligence on your part as parents to do this. And if you don't, you will grieve someday over it, and you'll ask, why did I not bear the yoke when I was young? So, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, within the greater context of the biblical revelation, tells us our purpose as families to pass on the truth So let's first talk about the responsibility of children. Verses 1 through 3 teach us about parents and children. But first, he's writing to children. Children, obey your parents. Now, he's not just writing to babies, but he's writing to all children. I think any child that lives at home, still under their parents' roof. Children, obey your parents. Now, we read this, and we're going to read it, we're going to see it through American family eyes. But when this was written, the family wasn't like we know it today. A baby would be born, so I understand, and a father could decide if he wants to keep it or not. Get rid of it, in other words, die, or keep it. It, the baby. Children were seen as property. Sons would not have full rights until the father deemed it so. The son would so, and we can still see this in some cultures today where the son lives under the thumb of a very hard parent, even into their adulthood, even after they've started their own family. Paul is writing something that's radical, and it's very old at the same time. It's new, but it's old. He's revisiting the old truth that God had revealed in the Old Testament of responsibility of parents and a responsibility of children. It was different for the time. And so here he writes, children, obey your parents. Now, we all would like for it to stop right there, because now even unbelieving parents will say, yes, that's good. Children must obey their parents. And you'd say, well, why should they obey? Because if they don't, the home will be in chaos. But Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. So there's a higher reason for obeying. It's just not so dad won't gripe and complain and grumble and kick things around because he's mad, because everybody's making too much noise. Children, obey your parents for a higher reason in the Lord. And children, if you can hear this and think about this and keep this in your mind, build it in your heart, I obey my parents in the Lord, as if my obedience to my parents is my highest act of obedience to the Lord. Ultimately, children, you are responsible to God. And this is a responsibility that God has given you to obey Him. Will look like obeying your parents, or obeying your parents will be obedience to God. So he gives this responsibility to sons and daughters living at home, to all children living at home, obey. Now, obedience has to do with your actions. It's not just with your mouth. Remember the parable of the two sons? And Jesus tells a story. The father gave one son a mission to do. He said, go. And the son said, certainly, I'll do it. And then he went and did his own thing. And then the other son, he kind of him-hauled around, resisting, and then he changes his mind, and he did what his father told him to do. He did what his father told him to do. Jesus says, which one did right? Of course, everybody said, well, the son that actually went and did what he was supposed to do. So obedience has to do with doing. It has to do with the action. Now, soon we'll see the word honor. We've read it already. Honor your father and mother. That has to do with your attitude. So children, God in His Word addresses two important things for you. He addresses your actions, but He addresses your attitude as well. Obey your parents. Obey would involve listening attentively. It has an aspect of honoring as you listen to what they have to say. You listen to what they're telling you that you need to do, and then act positively. There's nothing more frustrating than a parent to ask their children to do something, and the child does it, but they do it kicking and screaming all the way. Now, I'm sure no one in this church family has ever seen that before. But let me tell you something, children. Your parents have a responsibility to steer you and guide you away from that type of behavior. Because God calls you, listen, every one of you children that can hear what I'm saying. He calls you to obey and is do what you are told to do by your parents and to do it with a good attitude, ultimately in obedience to God. Listen attentively and act positively. So you put yourself willingly and eagerly under your parents' authority. And you don't even have to agree with everything that they say or do. But you are commanded to act and to do, to listen and to do with a good attitude. Now, you may say, but I struggle with my attitude. Even at a young age, children can have a bad attitude. And there's only one help for you ultimately. Ultimately, it's God. But you go to Him in prayer and you say, my attitude is not right. The other help that you have, though, listen, is your parents. Your parents can help you with your attitude. Back in the 1960s, there was what was called the generation gap. And I was watching these hippies explain, my parents never listened to anything I had to say. There was a change in how things were being perceived and done, and the problem happened that children didn't think they could go to their parents, and parents didn't even want to try to understand what was going on. Instead of going, tell me about it, they'd say, don't be hanging out with those hippie freaks. And all of a sudden, that's my friend. And lines were drawn. Loyalties were really held fast to, and it didn't involve parent and children. Parents, communicate your openness and willingness to talk to them and show them, teach them about the right attitude. And children, be humble enough to ask your parents about this. Because ultimately, your goal has to be as a family to give testimony to the goodness of God and of His glorious Son, Jesus Christ. He says, Paul writes, in the Lord. Let's talk about in the Lord. There's one point I want to add to what was already said regarding this. It would be without grumbling, because your obedience to your parents is under Christ. Do this without grumbling, for grumbling against your parents is as if you're grumbling against Christ Himself. Because He calls you to obey your parents. Obey without grumbling. Now, how many of you ever done this? Obey without rolling your eyes. Yeah, Mac, you got that down perfectly. He rolled his eyes. It was so good. But we all have done that before. But this obedience as unto the Lord is without grumbling, without rolling your eyes. It does more than just simply do what your parent says. It's to do it out of reverence for Christ. As unto the Lord, having a fear of God that is right and good. It's right actions with a right attitude. Can't underscore that enough today. Children, remember, this obedience is a right attitude, right works with the right attitude, right behavior with the right attitude. So let's talk to parents just for a minute. Remember this. As much as some of us, and we've heard this, it takes a village to raise children, I think that it's a good thing to raise families together, be with other families and so forth. But listen, parents, you are responsible for your children. If you don't like them and what they do, don't blame me. It's your fault. Huh? Right? You are responsible. Put it this way. You're responsible for your own children. That's the bottom line. It's important to hear that. You're God's proxy authority. God gave these children to you, and you need to remember that as they're a gift to you, they ultimately they belong to God, and you have to raise them in that way. My children are on loan from God. How will I return them, in a sense, to Him? And I say that in a sense. I'm not taking the Mormon doctrine that they were spirit beings that came to earth and they were given to me like that. But I have to think that God designed my family specifically for me, for us to raise and to teach and train them. You have a responsibility as a parent. If they're called to obey, it's your responsibility to teach them and direct them to do this in a God-pleasing way. You can't stomp your feet and walk away and say, fine, if that's the way you're going to be, that's just the way it is. You can't. Parent, you have to understand, you are God's authority over your children. Your children are under you. You can't let the children rule the roost. What's the old saying? You can't let the inmates run the prison. Children aren't inmates, but I don't know how else to say it. You have to.
Good analogy.
What did she say?
She said babies can't push their children to their parents in the stroller.
She's exactly right. Wait, Hazel, that's good. Babies can't push their parents in the stroller. But so often we want them to. You want to have your children grow up with a sound biblical understanding of what is obedience, why is it important, and what is the big picture? What is the end goal of why you're teaching and training obedience? I need to remind my family of that. I was thinking about that when I was working on this message. We need to regroup once in a while and remember why we're doing this. Otherwise, it becomes very small. And in the grand scheme of things, it would become very pointless. But God's plan for families is that there is a testimony that radiates out from our home and from one generation to the next concerning God's revelation of Himself in the person of Jesus Christ. If we teach our children the proper biblical understanding of obedience and the purpose behind it, we give them an opportunity to freely learn to obey and to love God. We give them a good level playing field. But if you don't do that, and you let slide this thing and that thing, and you say, you know what, that's just the way they are, then you're putting them in peril. Back to children. So we're going to go back and forth a little bit. Back to children. Concerning this obedience, Paul says, he says, for this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's right according to God's standard of right. Parents need to insist on obedience. Did you hear that? Parents need to insist on obedience. So, we're speaking concerning children, but you have to understand, children, it's your parents' job and calling and position to insist on obedience. And parents aren't going to do it right all the time. Sometimes parents can be downright annoying, right? I think we would all admit that. But it's right for you to obey even when you don't necessarily like the approach that's been taken. You ever had a parent, one of your parents, just keep on and keep on and keep on and keep on? Now that would be considered exasperating your children, I think. Just keep on, keep on, and they keep on and keep on. You think, why are they doing this? Because you're not listening. You're not doing what they're asking you, and they're exasperated themselves. As parent, you have to understand the parent. Your parent's job is to insist that you obey. Now, we'll frame it in the biblical context, and so you can maybe once in a while say, I remember something. You're doing this so that ultimately I will be a good testimony for Jesus Christ. That might help your parents remember, oh yeah, that's why I'm doing this thing. Parents don't remember everything. It's right, though, for you to obey. It's God-pleasing for you to obey. And children, you're commanded in Scripture to honor your mother and your father. To honor them. This, Paul writes this down, honor your father and mother. He said, this is the first, Paul's giving us a trivia fact here, but it's not really trivia, it means something. This is the first commandment God gave that has a promise attached to it. A promise, children, listen, children, a promise that you can receive. To honor my mother and father, to have a good attitude toward them, a right attitude toward them, to honor them, to bless them through my conduct, carries a promise that I'm going to claim, and the promise is this, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Long life may be a relative term, because we've all known good, obedient children that died young. Children do die young. People die young. But a long life has the idea behind it of a richness and a fullness and meaning and purpose and a sense of well-being. God will bless you for honoring your parents. Hold in the highest respect both your mother and father. Not all of our parents, we would say, have earned that respect. But it's not your place to judge. There are exceptions. If your parents are asking you to do something that would violate God's truth or God's law, that's a hard situation for you to be in. But you are commanded to obey God. Your parents may not be raising you as in such a godly environment, you may think. But if they're not asking you to violate God's truth, you're commanded to obey. Honor them. Hold them in highest regard and highest respect, that it may go well with you. Now back to parents. And as we'll close with parents, because I think parents need to hear what's being asked of you. And we'll talk about fathers the next time we open up Ephesians chapter 6. You have to teach your children to obey and to honor. If you don't do it, what little bit they pick up may skip across their brain, but it's not going to stick. You want to be like that golfer that's teeing off, or they're chipping out of the rough, and when that ball hits the green, it sticks. You don't want to be that one that just skips over the soil. Listen, you have to teach your children to obey. If you don't do it, nobody else will in the way that you can do it. You may say, I don't know what to do. I don't know how. Mother and father, your best place, your best room for instruction is the proverbial prayer closet, where you pray. And you pray for God's strength and God's power. You pray for a filling of the Holy Spirit. You pray to have His heart for your children and your children's children. You pray for wisdom to know how do you work with this seemingly very hard child to work with. And when you're exhausted and you don't think you can go on one more minute, fall with all your weight at the feet of Jesus. Seek help and counsel from others that have gone through difficult situations as well. But know this, you can't quit. You can't punt on hard kids. They're yours. And as long as they're in your house, under your roof, you have a responsibility to teach and train. I think Hebrews chapter 12 tells us this, that God disciplines His children. And he uses, the writer uses this, he says, for those fathers that don't discipline their children, they don't love them. You have to discipline your children. There's something so popular. I watch a few on YouTube. Free-range parenting. There's some good ideas behind it. I think if your children can explore a little bit, in my opinion, that they can learn to explore some things and learn some hard lessons on their own within, under your direction, it's a good thing. The free-range parenting says if a child feels like it, let them do it. Whatever that it would be. And that is contrary to biblical instruction. The Bible teaches parents, you must teach your children, teach and train the commandments of God, which includes how to teach them to obey and honor God. And if you don't teach them and pray, if you're not doing it, you don't love them in the sense that God wants you to love them. It, teaching obedience and teaching children to honor and being diligent about it doesn't mean you've got to go in and crack the whip. I remember I would hear other men at College Park when I'd be up there, and they would tell about, yes, I've got my family involved in a Westminster Confession. You know, they would go into these incredible Bible studies, and my children, I knew they were little, they'll sit and listen for hours. Boy, I'd come home. All right, sit down. We're going to do our catechism tonight. And we're going to do this, and they're like, what? You have to teach and train, but remember, they're children. They're not going to be able to sit through. I can't even hardly. If I was sitting where you were sitting, I couldn't sit through a 45-minute message. So I'm going to hurry up. But anyway, if you don't teach them yourself to obey and honor God, what makes you think they're going to grow up wanting to obey and honor God? If you don't teach them to obey you and honor you, what makes you think they're going to grow up and even think about obeying God and honoring God? The Bible is rich with verses and proverbs concerning the positive aspects of teaching and training your children. It speaks about a son being a father and mother's joy, and that would include daughters too. An obedient, well-rounded, thoughtful child will bring much joy to parents, to their parents. The one that's disobedient and is allowed to continue in disobedience, the Bible says, will bring ruin and shame and destruction to father and mother. Children, know this. This isn't a game between two powers and authorities where you can somehow bamboozle your parents and pull the wool over their eyes and live in a way that just seems to always butt up against them. This is life. This is God's will for you, that you would obey your parents. And parents, it's God's will that you would teach and train your children. And the reason why, that a testimony would go out into all the world that Jesus Christ is Lord, simply put. Let's pray. Yes, Amy? Sure.